Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, hello, and welcome to Shush. I'm watching a movie. Alex, man. You crapped out on that one, though.
Yeah, you gotta lean into it.
You made it seem like you were gonna, for a second I was like, oh, we're not gonna talk at the same time. And then we did, and then you just stopped, so.
Look, I'm not a smart man. we have a special guest.
We do. We haven't had a guest in so long. And the last guests we had, we were slowly working our way through the cast of Kim's Convenience. But this today, we don't have that. Today, we have someone who's very, very special, a wonderful, amazing comedian. One of the first comedians, I don't know if you know this, James, you were one of the first comedians I worked with who was like, I felt like a professional guy because you hosted my first show when I was in the Sketchersons.
Really?
Oh man, yeah, I didn't know that. My very first show.
Wow.
The mark of professionalism.
You're my professional Sketchersons. My professional man.
You gotta be pretty big time to host the Sketchersons.
It was to me. It was big time. We have James Hartnett here of the Landlord Tenant podcast and many other things. James, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to do it. I thought your intro was good. I didn't think it was awkward or anything. I was into it.
Good. We need
sounds
that.
Sounds like a lie, but I need this win. No, I need these wins.
It's been a week. So James, I'm thrilled for you to bring your energy, your joy to our podcast, and you're going to bring us a movie that I think is what I would describe as men like this movie. James, what is this movie called?
This movie is called Roadhouse.
Okay.
Pretty masculine title right off the bat. Even if you don't know anything about it, you're thinking, okay. And it's a Patrick Swayze movie. We got Sam Elliott in it as well.
Oh, exciting.
There's a woman in it. I don't know her name. Okay. Also, and
I'm sure she has a really well-developed character.
Yeah, I'm sure it passes the test.
Okay, my understanding is this movie was like written by a woman, right?
Was it?
Was it?
Or am I wrong?
Google it, Alex.
I'm A story by was a man.
Written by a woman with a man holding a gun to her head while she was doing it.
Oh, so there's story by as a man and then screenplay by David Lee Henry and Hillary Henkin.
That's nice. So,
strong enough for a man, but made for a woman.
Yeah.
Like the deodorant. No,
David Lee Henry is double dipping on the story and screenplay credit, but she did enough work to get a co-credit.
What we should do, I want to start the movie, and then James, can you tell us why Roadhouse? Is this a movie that you've seen a lot? Like, why is it so meaningful to you?
To be honest, I've only seen it once, which maybe is against the rules, but I loved it, and I watched it on a vacation to Chicago. And, like, you know, you're in the hotel on a vacation and you kind of, like, you know, what, like, it was like there was something fun about being in the hotel watching the movie. And I loved it. I have such a good memory of watching it because it's so stupid, but also great.
Well, I understand. It's
absolutely
like
absolutely destroy that good memory.
Situational love. And James, may I say you should probably put subtitles on because we blast right through this movie in terms of not paying attention. Yeah.
Okay, let me figure out how to do that.
I'm going
to
hit play.
Got it.
That works too.
You might have also noticed the ones I gave you guys for consideration were all like 80s or 90s. And
which is like the hit for this podcast.
But yeah, very, very. We exclusively do movies of the mid-90s, to be honest.
Oh, I love. But I feel like that was like weirdly my favorite era. Like even stupid or like blockbuster kind of bad movies from the 90s just are different somehow.
I say with sincereness that I think the movies we talk about this all the time, that it was the exact right budget to make a good movie that isn't necessarily like a Marvel-like movie. So if you want a thoughtful, grounded, three people talking kind of movie, the 90s was the time to do it. Whereas now those movies, they don't get as much money and they're just more boring. Whereas in the 90s, they put some money into it. There'd be like a song written by like, I don't know,
Aerosmith or something.
Somebody. Yeah, Aerosmith. And then, but also that could be because we were kids in the 90s, right? So maybe we just hold things to higher regard.
I think, I don't know, I'm about to get on a horse so high I may fall off and break my neck.
Okay.
But
Ben Gazzara.
I was talking with someone about superhero movies and how superhero movies, like they're made to please everybody. Like they're made to like, you know, everybody can enjoy them. So they're sexless. They're like there's like relationships, but there's like no sexual any.
We get it, Alex. There's no sex in it.
Jesus. And it also like it has these super high budgets and has all this stuff, but like because they can't challenge anybody, it's like the moral core of it, like the themes of it, is closer to Barney than it is to any adult thing. Mm. So I think when we look back at movies, like the moral themes of like Roadhouse are not well developed.
I doubt
or
they're good.
Subtle,
James, no but offense, but I doubt but, they're
none
good.
None taken.
but they are like more complex than like friendship will help you of like the Avengers or whatever.
I think that's a good
can
call.
Can I chime in and I like this, Alex. I think
you're right.
I think that's true. I also think like to get good, interesting themes, you're just getting a really like a movie that not everyone sees. Where in the 90s, everyone would see the movie because there wasn't as many things. But I was going to say the movie itself that we're watching, Roadhouse, just based off the title, it has to do with a house that's on a road.
No,
that's a great guess. I think there are many houses in the movie that are accessible by road.
Because technically where I live is an apartment off of a lane. So I don't qualify as a roadhouse.
Your movie would be Lane House.
Yeah, it would be Lane Apartment.
And I'm a two-story walk-up. Yeah.
Well, you know, what it's actually a sort of... I think Roadhouse is just a reference to like a scummy bar. I don't even know if it's a specific bar, maybe the It'd one like, he ends like, up getting like a job at is called the Roadhouse. But Patrick Swayze is basically the best bouncer in the world.
Yeah,
that's what's being established
I don't see
right
that
now.
For him.
He's like
the
Stephen Hawking of bouncers.
I'm gonna say something controversial.
Stephen Hawking of bouncers.
Yeah, I was like the best bouncer in the world until he like an actual tall person exists. Because like how tall is he?
But you don't need to be tall to bounce. He's low to the ground. That's true. And he can, you know.
His center of gravity is in the right spot.
And I'm pretty sure he's discrediting. Oh, sorry to interrupt you. But do you guys know Jeff Healey?
No.
Was he the singer?
Yes. And he's from Toronto. And he played all the time, I think, at the Transac. And he's like sort of a famous Toronto blues guy who is blind. He can't see. And I mean, I didn't need to explain what that meant. But he's like has a big part in this movie as a musician.
Okay, I see what's going on. I was looking at a different guy, but the guy that was the lead singer was not Jeff Healey, right?
No. He's good in the movie, though. It's crazy.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that the lead singer in the band that we saw on screen was one of the dads in Twilight. Was the dad of the wolf in Twilight? And so for a second, I got really excited. But I'm just looking up. Yeah, I think I know Jeff Healey, actually. He's very familiar looking.
I think he was sort of famous in the 90s or the 80s and the 90s or something.
Well, I used to work at RCM, and I feel like maybe he played when I was there.
Oh, maybe.
Like at the concert. I think maybe. But you know what? I'm often wrong, so I don't know. So he's the best bouncer in the world.
He's at a shitty bar right now. He's thin. Mm. He's the best bouncer in the world. And there's a dude coming to basically try to hire him away to his new bar. And Swayze's giving him his demands.
Okay, so I'm going to just call out my ignorance. I was thinking that this was the movie with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn where someone gets kidnapped. Or someone is kidnapped. Is it Overboard? But no, also a movie with a house in it.
Most movies have houses in them, truthfully.
And so I'm realizing that I kind of am much more into this plot than the plot that I was assuming.
So, it's a great plot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wanting the best bouncer in the world to go over to a different bar?
Yeah, like this guy is starting a new bar and for some reason that's not clear or... at all. It's just so insanely violent. And he finds the best bouncer in America and he hires him to come work at his very violent bar.
Yeah. It's like, I run this bar that's basically a mixed martial arts center. I mean,
like a center.
Yeah.
Center for the Progress of Mixed Martial Arts. I just love that in the reality of this movie, people love the blues. In reality of this movie, that the people are just like applauding for the blues and not just mildly enduring it.
You know, I went to the Silver Dollar Room once, and let me tell you something. I liked the blues when I was there. I enjoyed it.
Hey,
I swayed. I don't know. My friend, when I was in college, she dated a guy who was in like. So it was at Humber and like he was a part of the music program, which was supposed to be very good. And he was in the jazz thing. And then he had a blues band. So I went to a lot of blues concerts now that I'm remembering. But then he broke up with her in such a mean way that I haven't listened to the blues since.
Aw.
Yeah, but he really did break up with her in such a mean way. He was unavailable for 3 weeks and then drove to her house and said, oh, yeah, we're broken up. And then she never spoke to him again.
Ooh, that sucks.
That's how you got to do it when you're 19.
You know, I remember sort of breaking up with a girl in high school, but it wasn't even real. Like, I don't even think, I feel like we barely kissed. And I remember...
When you said it wasn't even real, I was like, was the girl not real? You had to tell us about like a psychotic break.
Yeah, like,
break.
I think I made
like,
her
you had
up,
your own middle... so you had your own mini fight bad. Club in high school.
But I remember being like...
No, what happened?
Wait, like you just never talked to her? And then that was it?
No, I just sort of uncomfortably broke up with her on the phone and felt like it was maybe a bit, you know, not as nice as I wish I had done. But I mean, also when you're really young, maybe you're not nailing it all the time.
I was going to say, yeah, I've broken up with people on the phone, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think the phone, because you know what? There's this weird like halfway point of like, if you're just meeting up to be broken up with, it's annoying for the person to get fully ready to go out thinking they're going on a date. And then they like go to a bar and then they always will associate that bar with being broken up with. So there is a weird kindness to breaking up over the phone.
I agree.
But the relationship can only be counted in months when you're able to break up on the phone. Anything that passes 6 months and over, I think.
So if I want to break up with my girlfriend who I currently live with, I can't just call her and dump her.
You can't do it. I remember once I got broken up with at the bar that was like down the street from my house. And I was like, at my bar, like at the bar that is close to me, where my memories are.
I think I actually had a really long relationship that was like...
Marlon just...
Oh, you're pausing?
Marlon just texted me, why do you want to break up with me?
Yeah, Alex, don't talk. She can't even hear the other side of the conversation.
Over the phone. I live here.
Sorry, James, what were you saying?
Sorry, James.
Like a long relationship that was already on the rocks and had kind of broken up and kind of not. And then we had a big, long, unpleasant conversation on the phone. And it kind of officially ended on the phone. And I was fine with that. You know what I mean? Because sometimes that's just the way the convo goes. But it wasn't out of nowhere. I think if it was out of nowhere, that would be a bummer. But when you're kind of like,
just,
you know, it's maybe going that way.
There's no good way to break up with someone, because even if you do it properly, I don't know, then there's like not enough closure. And then you think that like things are okay. It's a nightmare. It's just a nightmare regardless. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I got broken. I was seeing someone in the summer, fall times when it was less dangerous, but it still felt kind of dangerous. And he broke up with me via text, and that's never happened to me in my life. And so I'd say that was the worst way to do it. And then the next day his friend emailed me, because like I had been dating him for a while, where like we had told our friends about each other, and his friend like emailed me because he had like given my email for like something about a job. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't help you. Your friend broke up with me via text. And it was a terrible idea.
I don't know if you saw in the movie, but a guy hitting on a girl said, let's say we go nipple to nipple, which is maybe the grossest way I've ever heard anyone propose sex.
Wait, yeah, that is
pretty
gross.
That's a sexual thing?
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess guys aren't usually thinking about what's going on with their nipples. And, I mean, I guess... that's his interest.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he's just into specific nipple play.
Yeah.
He wants to let you know what you're getting immediately, and it's only nipple stuff.
Yeah.
Fun fact about that actress that was the waitress. She plays Luke from Gilmore Girls' sister on Gilmore Girls. So that was Luke's sister. Oh.
Yeah, the bar owner is... changing graffiti that said, for a great F word, call this number. And he's changing the graffiti to be not rude.
To Buick.
Yeah, he changed. Yeah. Wow.
So he's okay with owning a violent bar, but he's not okay with people with profanity. Soliciting sex on his wall. Okay.
That's a good point. See, I think we're at the
he's
violent
very
bar
Christian.
Now. Yeah, he's...
Yeah, it's the violent bar.
Now... is this is like an era thing, or is this like a culture thing? Like these types of bars, where do they exist? I've never been to a bar like this.
I grew up in Orangeville, like near Orangeville, and I've never been to a bar like this. But I've definitely, like, you know, maybe like 10% or 20% of the way towards this. I feel like I could identify with, but not this crazy.
I my understanding is like a roadhouse is like a type of bar, like a dive bar, but it's like in like the the flyover, more country fried states of like, it's a like in the middle of nowhere towns. It's like a kind of a watering hole for a lot of communities. That you would drive to,
like a Legion,
or like a motorcycle bar would be closer.
Mm. Oh, I never been to a motorcycle bar.
Well, no, because we live in the city. Like, we're not going to go to a motorcycle.
But I can travel. Let's... I'm not. I've never not left Toronto.
Yeah. But also, like, You're not. These aren't vacation hotspots.
You don't
you're
know where like... I go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Italy again and again and again.
Yeah, I go to Italy nonstop. You don't even know, Alex. I've toured Ontario, so.
Nice.
All the way up to Thunder Bay.
I have been to Thunder Bay. I've been to Thunder Bay. I've been to Meaford.
You ever been to North Bay?
I've not been to North Bay. Is it different than Thunder Bay?
Gotta be honest. I didn't like North Bay. I'm sorry. No. To all
that's where
North
Mike Harris was from, I remember.
Really? It was beautiful. Yeah, a beautiful landscape, but the town was, oh boy.
full of Mike Harris's.
Yeah, just full of Mike Harris signs everywhere. And...
Whoa. What a way of grabbing a woman's chest.
Yeah, this guy's just grabbing this woman's boob.
to say grab is the wrong, to lightly push.
He like, feathered as if, like, it, I would say. Like he like went like that or something.
Like imagine you like were trying to like straight, you know, like in a suede couch or something. You want to make it all face the same way. Mm-hmm. You kind of rub it a bit. Mm-hmm. He's basically doing that.
So twist. This wait, sort of what's kinky... happening at this bar? It's okay. Making me so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's a kinky situation. A husband and wife are saying to these men, hey, want to touch my wife's boobs for $20? And then a guy is doing it.
Okay.
But you know a fight's about to break out soon.
Oh, because he doesn't have $20. And that's the disrespectful thing.
You're right. Yeah, that's the weird thing. Okay, it's now there's swingers. A huge fight.
Yeah, I guess so. It's weird how she like took off her halter thing to reveal even more of a full coverage bra, where it's like, why don't I just keep the halter on?
That's a great point.
Well, here's one thing for certain is that you'll never get a feeling up like that in an Avengers movie.
Yeah,
sexless,
no, not
sexless
your
Avengers.
Point truly stands. The odds of yeah. Loki doing that.
If they made, I mean, isn't that what Deadpool is? Isn't Deadpool like the R-rated superhero movie? I haven't seen it.
I would say it's pretty sexless, but there is like actual, like it's kind of like uses a punchline, but it is, my point falls apart.
With Deadpool? Is there full sex in Deadpool?
He gets pegged in a scene or implied pegging.
From a woman or from a man?
From a woman.
Oh, I got all excited.
What is
a guy pegging him, but keeping his penis to himself?
You know, like a dildo in the butt.
Ah, okay. I was going to say something really stupid.
I don't know if we talked about
this. I forgot that you're a major Avengers fan. James is
a nice man who we've brought on a thing to watch a movie, and we've just talked at him about sexual things, and I think we're making him very uncomfortable.
I think he's frozen.
Oh, no, he's frozen in his uncomfortableness. James, oh, no.
Sorry about that.
But I was saying it has, like, a good energy. It has a very good energy and flow to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well made. Like, it's not, like this movie is, like, a classic for a reason. And like, I think stuff against it, it would be, like, is very... The 80s had a series of movies that were, like, for every reason should have been bad, but for whatever reason were like entertaining and weird and fun in their own way.
Right.
Like, I think of like Bloodsport of being like a similar movie to this, mm-hmm. where it's like, it should have been horrible, but it was
good,
silly.
Yeah.
It was silly and fun in its own way.
I've never heard of Bloodsport.
Or like Youngblood, speaking of movies with blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everything's just called blood.
Yeah, what a...
You know, I am one of three sisters, and I think all of this era of movies have completely passed us by.
I will say that I think people's opinion of these kind of like 80s beefy movies are colored by the worst versions of it, when like the really good movies are like they're like popcorn, they're like entertainment, they're not like particularly deep, but they are like fun and entertaining and cool and often have something even mild to say about something. But I think people like compare it to like a Steven Seagal garbage fest.
I mean,
than like,
I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't like friggin' Rapid Fire.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Steven Seagal is a very bad person though.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just thinking, cause the last movie we watched that had this aesthetic was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And that was unwatchable. Like, even to have it peripherally and having a conversation going, like, for me, that I couldn't, like, because I didn't watch it as a kid. So
I don't think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a well-made movie. Like, there isn't a lot of, but it is. I will say it's got like some idiosyncratic things that are fun, and kind of like the fact that we just kind of stops in the middle to go to a farm is very funny to me.
And the Ninja Turtles. Well, that's why I'm bringing it up, because it looks a lot like this farm that we're currently at.
I think it's just a certain level of budget in the late 80s has like a look to it, you know?
Yeah, they all film at the same farm.
I'm not a person who, I don't want to be the kind of person who's like, you know, the Phantom Menace was bad because they don't use puppets or whatever, but I was watching like Twister, which I know is 90s, but you really can tell when, like, you know, a silo falls over and a tree falls over. You're like, oh yeah, they definitely really made that happen. It's not, and it does look a little different.
It's so much better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is why The Phantom Menace isn't, I mean, like, I don't care about Star Wars, but it is true though.
It is true.
Because, like, when you watch, like, the T-Rex and the raptors in Jurassic Park look amazing.
Yeah.
The Brachiosaurus looks so stupid. So it's like, I don't know why they wouldn't just keep going and making, like, animatronics, like, super amazing. I mean, I assume it's because it's super expensive comparatively, but imagine if the Avengers had, like, some animatronic shit in it versus just a cartoon.
Wow. Would it be cooler? A different feel. Hmm.
Be very tactile if Michelle Gondry made the Avengers.
Yeah, I've watched Michelle Gondry's Avengers.
I would love to. I love Michelle Gondry.
Did you guys watch the new Zack Snyder 4-hour Justice League or whatever?
I did not.
No, me neither.
I keep putting it off because I think in our the movie group we might do a watch along with it. But
all of it at the same time?
I'm saying it should be like a hands in the hard body competition where, like, last person standing wins the pot.
Have you seen it, James?
No, I'm not really a big superhero movie guy at all. But I mean, you know, like, I'd watch the Marvel movies sometimes in the movie theater because it's fun. But I don't really care.
Yeah, I love an IMAX experience. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, but I did think those were kind of stupid but fun. But I don't get the DC ones at all. I went to the movies to see Batman versus Superman with a friend and. We, like, brought in, like, some wine, like, to drink, like, for fun. I thought it would be, like, a fun, bad movie. But it was, like, boring bad. Like, it was just brutal. And I haven't really watched any of the other crime. Since.
This is the greatest crimes of these bad movies. Like, we did that with Cats. We were like, well, let's get in. And the worst part about Cats is it was so boring.
Yeah.
I will say that I laughed my ass off through Cats. But there is a stretch where they're in the, like, that, like, dilapidated dance hall or whatever that is so long that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's also parts where Rebel Wilson looks like a cat and then she unzips her fur and she's wearing a like a costume underneath and then she unzips that again and goes back to regular cat and it's like, what does that mean? Like, for the logic of the world, it doesn't mean anything. Damn. But that's I can think about that. I think about that all the time, actually. It just disturbed me so much. Yeah. I just think, like, you know, you think about a movie, you write a movie, so many people have to go through it, and that they were fine with her unzipping regular to costume to back to regular. Like, why wouldn't you just put it back on? What's the difference? To keep the logic going. Alex looks like he's dying right now.
I've put more thought into the movie Cats than anyone should have.
So has Patrick Swayze taken this job?
Yes.
Yeah, so now he's like head bouncer.
And he's basically like, he basically said to the owner of this bar, I'll take your job, but you have to do exactly what I say. Like, as though bouncers have this power in the world, you know what I mean? Like, I'll take the job on my terms. But he does. He's so good at being a bouncer that he can literally call the shots. And right now he's addressing the employees of this shitty bar. And he's saying, you got to go. You got to do this. You got to do that.
Well, if it's the most violent bar in the world, it's like he's the guy. Like, he's got to make the rules. I just listened to a podcast about the Kennedy assassination conspiracies. And the thing I learned is the man that killed Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby, owned a bar and was his own bouncer. He was the own bouncer to his own bar. And he was a hothead. So for all your conspiracy theories people out there, he just wanted to kill Oswald because he thought that he would be hailed as a hero. He's like, I'm just going to kill that guy. And then he did. And it happened to be on camera. So don't sit there and say that there's a conspiracy. He just got into a lot of fights.
Imagine we find out Patrick Swayze's character in Roadhouse is loosely based on this bouncer.
On Jack Ruby?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd watch a movie.
We should check out. Honestly, notice if he mentions anything about JFK or anything like that.
I love that. Like, we all do comedy, and I'm sure we've all run shows at bars at some time. And people who own bars are some of the weirdest, worst people, and it tracks so hard for me that a guy who owns a bar is like, I know, I'll kill a man and everyone will love me. Like, that's the most bar owner logic, especially the one man band bar where he's like also the bouncer. Mm-hmm. That's
So the whole thing is like, there's just so many conspiracy theories about Kennedy being killed because of, you know, the mob or blah, blah, blah. But then when they kind of explained it out, it just really doesn't, it just seems like a shitty situation about someone who didn't like the president and it happened and it was sad. And I was trying to explain that exact reasoning to my mom the other day, and she got very hot and was like, it was the mob, and just screamed that it was the mob and that Jack Ruby was the mob. And I was like, but I just heard a thing that explained very clearly that it wasn't, that he was nothing to do with the mob. She's like, please, a bouncer at a bar? He's the mob. So maybe they're just all a part of the mob. But it's just so crazy explaining to someone, like, here's new information or here's old information that is proven, and for their reaction to be like, you're wrong. Yeah. It was a real wild ride.
Did you guys ever read or watch the Stephen King 11-22-63?
Oh, I didn't, it. But yeah. Ben, when I was dating Ben, he was on an episode of that show.
Oh, wow. I read it just for fun, and it was like, you know, it was kind of fun. It's like a guy, it's silly, a guy finds like a portal that takes him back to the late 50s, and then he realizes every time he goes in, he goes back to the same time, and he decides he's going to try to stop the assassination. I don't know if the show was
It was
good.
James Franco, right?
I don't know, I never saw the show.
Oh, you just read the book.
The show was silly, and that's what made it fun.
Yeah, the book was silly,
like,
too.
I had fun with the show. I would not, by any stretch of the imagination, call it good.
Mm. Yeah, the book was the same. It was like a fun read, but you wouldn't be like, brilliant.
I think that's the thing with, like, I've read earlier Stephen King and current day Stephen King, and in that time he's figured out what his hit actually is. Mm. Whereas, like, if you read The Shining, it's like a weird, super, like, it's trying to be like high art about like alcoholism.
Huh.
And then if you read like anything later, he's like, I am a pulp writer and I am Fisher Price, my first horror writer. And
did you lose your train of thought there because of the sex scene on the screen right now?
And also,
first of all, that's not Patrick Swayze, and I thought that was, and I got so shocked when Patrick Swayze opened the door.
Yeah.
But we saw
You were shocked when you saw the full nudity.
The full nudity shocks me.
I saw Vitae's jaw drop.
I just am never expecting full nudity in any of the movies that we watched, but I guess I did make you watch
by the Avengers.
Yeah. I did make you watch 50 Shades of Grey, which has so much nudity.
But wasn't even that horny. Like, it was.
No, it's not horny, but it's very naked. But except for the guy who all you see is he just wears low cut jeans. So you
see a little bit of neck.
It's so stupid.
The actor and the actress from that hate each other, right? Isn't that the thing that they believe?
They did. Yeah, that's the Hollywood rumor. Mm. And you know what? You can tell. You can tell that they don't enjoy each other.
Interesting.
It comes through.
It's because, well, what it seems like is like Dakota Johnson is doing a really good job for having nothing to work against. Like, and what's so funny is the guy in it is not a bad actor, and he can be very funny. He was in Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. Have you guys seen that, by the way?
No. It's very fun.
Oh,
It's like
Austin Powers, kind of.
Yeah, I describe it as Austin Powers for the ladies.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a joke a minute, and he's in it, and he's very funny. So I just think missed opportunity for, I don't know who. But anyways, long story short, we saw a side of a man's, you never see like a butt in the, is men butts a thing in the 80s?
I've definitely seen.
I feel like it might have been.
You also saw like thrusting, which I'm always very shocked at.
I feel like there was like some iconic male butt scenes in the 80s. You know what? You know why I think that? Remember the Emilio Estevez Lethal Weapon parody Loaded Weapon?
Oh no, we lost him again.
Did I lose you guys again? I did.
But there, this is such a sexual movie.
Do I love this enjoy movie? It. Lots of titties.
Yeah, it's sex in the way that like we were raised on sex, where it's like, yeah. There's no romance. There's nothing. It's just
like cardinal desire. Like,
yeah, it's very obscene. I find this like more obscene than like pornography for some reason.
Like pornography, everyone knows what they're doing. This is the pretensions of being art.
Also, all the women's bodies, and I do understand that like it has to do with casting and the men's bodies too. They all are so similar. All the women, because they all wear the same kind of bathing suit where it's like that deep V bathing suit. And so they kind of all have these hips that go in like this. And I just, you never see a body like that anymore.
It's a very 80s. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like there's different shapes of faces and bodies through different decades. Like there's very like friends of ours, like Guy Bradford has a very 60s face, you know?
Guy Bradford Swayze's looks like, butt. Well, because he looks like Ethan Embry who was in That Thing You Do. My question to you is, Alex, this girl he has not had sex with, she comes to bring him thing. He gets fully dressed in front of her with his butt and everything.
Cause he's just such an alpha male.
Okay, is that an alpha male thing? Because it feels more like assault.
That's why all the old men are surprised about me too. It's like, well, I'll never make a road are you kidding me? Today.
I was able to dress in front of a woman before. Also, see this woman, so the woman from Gilmore Girls, to me doesn't look 80s. She actually looks quite modern. And even though her haircut is like kind of like the 20s, there's something very modern era about it. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I agree. I like this guy just drunk driving so hard.
It looks okay. So road. Once, so I have never, I don't drive a car, but I have drunk bicycled. And I just remember going, hold on. I'm just going to text. I remember. Okay. So I'm drunk bicycling and I'm going down Dover Court and it's like, it's a slight hill, but it's just enough to feel okay. And I was so hammered and I shut my eyes and it just felt so magical. And then I snapped being like, this is how you die. Like, this isn't even like, and then I didn't drunk bicycle for a while, but I'd say the year that I was 24, what a time to be alive. Cause I almost died.
I drunk bicycled once and was just riding like in like, you know, it's like cars parked along the street and I just, I'm like, I'm not that drunk. I just kept saying to myself, like, I'm not that drunk. And then just shouldered off someone's side view mirror. And I was like, ow, fuck. And I look in the side view's hanging. I'm like, oh, shit. And I just like ride away really fast. Like,
that's killer, man. Once I'll never forget, I wasn't drunk, but I was late for a callback of an audition that I then booked. So I was biking and I got doored. But just my foot, like just, and it, my foot just like flailed in the wind for a good 5 minutes and I couldn't get like back on the bike and I was just biking with one foot. It was, but I never fell. And I think the adrenaline of like making it and then like doing the audition and like I booked it in the room. I was like very exciting. And then I went home and I was like, my foot is broken. It was so painful. I didn't break it, but it was like, it was fucking brutal. It was all bruised. I love disgusting.
That you were auditioning for Lady on the Edge, like Lady. Yeah.
Just I just remember this. Like I wish this could be communicated through the microphone, but my hand is flailing in a way that like that's just what my foot felt like. And the person, I could hear them say sorry in the back, and they were probably just so shocked because it was like I was doored and I just kept going.
Yeah,
I do things. That like if something bad happens, like I just want to keep I don't know if I drove and I accidentally hit a parked car. I mean, morally, I would probably end up leaving a note, but I don't know if I'd leave a note. You know, just don't want to. I don't want to deal.
It seems like a lot of work. Also, like I leave a note, like I don't have paper or a pen on me at all at any time.
That's so true. Leaving a note is a thing of the past. Yeah. Oh my God. How come Patrick Swayze has something like this in every movie of his? Because he has this exact thing kind of in the water in Dirty Dancing. Okay. I'm going to admit now I've only seen, I guess I've seen Ghost too.
Ghost is a bonkers movie.
Ghost is fascinating. I think if done in another way, it could have been like an, I mean, it did win an Academy Award, but it could have been like a prestige movie.
What did Ghost win an Academy Award for?
Whoopi Goldberg won the Academy Award.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right, right. Because Ghost, everyone, I think because it won that Academy Award, everyone now thinks it is a prestige movie, but like, the beginning is the like pottery thing. And the next hour and a half is them like fighting ghosts or like closing a portal to hell. It's bonkers.
But that's the interesting part. Oh, wait, he's resetting his internet.
There he is.
Sorry James. About that, guys. What a stupid internet situation.
Are you okay? I feel like our podcast asks a lot of the internet.
Oh, hey, you know what? I've got an unlimited plan with Rogers, so let's use it.
It's Rogers and it's being a little bitch like this? That's bullshit.
That is bullshit. I agree.
I thought maybe you were on like tech savvy or
no,
something.
No, no, it's full Rogers.
James, did you record the whole way through?
I did.
Thanks, James.
No, no problem.
Is makes it just my you? Life so much easier.
I hope that the recording is just you being like, oh, no, no, oh, no.
No, the whole thing is just him being like, motherfucker. Yeah.
You missed. Okay, James. Sorry, we kept the movie going. Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. What you missed was Patrick Swayze in tight white pants doing like karate type moves.
Tai Chi.
I wish I saw that.
Yeah, and he's very greasy. Yep. Actually, everyone's pretty greasy in this movie.
Oh yeah.
He also got dressed in front of a woman who had never seen him naked before, and he was very fine with dressing in front of her. He didn't say like, turn around or can you give me a moment? No. And we saw a full butt.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you missed.
Okay.
And now
got hurt. So you saw Patrick Swayze's full butt.
Yeah, we saw his full butt.
Nice.
He has a beautiful figure. Oh my God. You know what he just said? He said, pain don't hurt. That's the theme of this movie.
Pain don't hurt. You know what's funny? The two times my internet is cut out, I've said things and then not heard anything from you guys and then assumed I made a weird comment that you guys weren't reacting to. Because the first time I said I didn't know what
tagging
was. You
were in the middle of saying something that I really wanted to hear, and it was something about Emilio Estevez, and then you went away. Too. So, James, what was it?
Do you guys remember the movie Loaded Weapon that was a parody of Lethal Weapon, and it starred Emilio Estevez?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I do not.
There was
Continue.
Why would you? There was a scene in Loaded Weapon where they made a point of making a joke of like, here's a shot of his glistening butt. And I feel like, you know, when you're a kid and you would watch The Simpsons and you're like, I'm pretty sure that's a reference to something, but I don't get it. Yeah. I really felt that this scene of Emilio Estevez's butt was a reference to some 80s movie. And that's why I think revealing men's butts was a thing in the 80s.
Okay.
In movies.
It could have been from this movie because his butt, when he got dressed, we saw a full and it looked greasy.
Nice.
So that, okay. So fun fact about this actress that he's in the scene with right now. This is Kelly Lynch.
Yes.
Do we all know who her sister is?
No.
David Lynch?
Jane Lynch from Glee.
Oh.
No way. You're kidding
me. And do you kind of see it? You got to look at her up close without the glasses.
I kind of see it. Yeah.
As she got older, she was. Okay, she had a guest role on the new version of 90210, which I watched all the episodes of. And she looks like her now more so than she did when she was younger. But she really is like, I'm just going to say, like a prettier version there. I said it. Sorry. Like of Jane Lynch.
I might be crazy. I don't see it at all. I'm
the
stunned by that
and the
info.
Hair.
And also, Jane Lynch is so funny. I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but this woman, maybe she's funny, but I'm not getting that vibe. I don't think she is.
She was pretty bad on 90210.
The role of nurse who gives stitches gave her a lot of comedy.
I'm at the scene where there's a guy getting out of a giant monster truck that he's taking.
That's where we are.
Is that where you guys are?
That's where we're at. Okay. Yeah.
And he put on his giant aviator glasses.
Yeah.
They're giant.
I do like that, like, every character in this scene is the most 80s looking man I've ever seen.
I was just going to say that.
Each one's more 80s than the last.
It's a mixture of the texture of their skin and their hair.
Yeah. And the dude there with the aviator glasses who has sort of a necklace with some kind of
yeah.
tooth, and yeah. he has a crucifix earring. Has really got a vibe going on.
He's got too many things going on.
Yeah.
He's got too
yeah,
many
he's
things.
Gotta, he's got to do that Chanel thing and take one thing off before he leaves the house.
Do you think he is Christian, or do you think that was just the style? Like George Michael, well, Barry Bonds? That,
the one crucifix earring is very George Michael, I will say.
Yeah.
No, I think his thoughts are on the Lord.
Yeah, but I think it has to do with Jesus.
He's got a yarmulke as well. He's yeah, like, really?
He might be a devout Catholic, with, you know?
But,
yeah.
But I feel like, is the shark tooth some kind of spirituality?
Great point.
I like the idea that he's just like soup. He's got so like, I like, no one told him to do that. Like the wardrobe didn't give him that. He like just showed up. Like these are all choices he made for his character who stands silently menacing.
Do we think that this is the it for his character? You don't think we're going to see more of him?
Oh, it'd be so funny if this is it. Like, he's just like a boom guy. We like put him in front of the camera.
That's very funny.
I do think beating someone and then saying, help him up.
Hmm?
I think this movie does a good job of like, the bad guys have a look that you do want to punch them when you see them. Like, earring guy, you do want to punch him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And the guy who owns the bar, he looks so mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's, what's that actor's name?
I don't know what his name is, but I know that he's Nick's dad on Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he plays and he's only on Freaks and Geeks, I think, for a total of like 6 minutes. And you know exactly the kind of man that he is.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. He's, he rolls through so many things and is just the biggest douchebag in anything he shows up in.
James, where is Sam Elliott?
Oh, he's coming.
Okay.
And I really felt like when I watched this the first time that I was like, this seems to be like just a really attractive vibe that Sam Elliott has in this movie. He's kind of, you tell me what you think, but I just think he's got a real attractive vibe in this. Way more so than Patrick.
I heard him on a podcast once and he just was so... He's just so comfortable in who he is as a man. And like he talked about like his wife who he met. You know who his wife is? He's married to in The Graduate, the woman that Dustin Hoffman falls in love with.
Really?
Yeah, not Anne Bancroft, but the daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
He's married to her. The way he just like talked about her and how he basically like saw her on a movie set and was like, and then we were in love and that's that. And then they've been like in love ever since. Just have nothing but respect for him.
Yeah.
And I really wish he had won the Academy. Oh my God, the sexuality in this movie. and I just wish he had won that Academy Award for A Star Is Born. I would have loved to see that man get on stage.
Him in A Star Is Born is so funny.
Oh, he's great.
Of just him backing up out of the... him backing his truck up after Bradley Cooper is like... Is one of the funniest things in the
James,
world.
James, did you see A Star Is Born?
I haven't.
Okay, so there's a part just where Bradley Cooper basically, like, says that he was the male role model in his life. Like, it wasn't dad, it was you, that you're, like, my man.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shuts the door to the car as fast as a person can humanly do it. And then, like, he, like, drives and backs up so quickly. And it's not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be very touching. But yeah. it's like they did, like, a fast forward, like, what do you call it? Like, Benny Hill style, like, getaway.
Like, he showed emotion. He's like, run away.
Yeah. And it's just one of the best things. Actually, Julian Bertolucci does a very perfect impression of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you guys think it was like, I don't know a lot about this stuff, but I watched that when in the Oscars, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga sang that song and it was super horny and then his girlfriend's in the crowd and I felt like that was
weird
vibe. Oscar version was James, so horny.
Okay,
the Oscar
so thank
version
you
was
for asking us this
fully
question.
Erect.
Thank you for asking us this question, James, because honestly, I didn't think it was horny. I thought it was super performed.
You and are so
I know,
wrong.
I know. And everyone was like, are you kidding me? They definitely hooked up, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't buy it.
But not to be too personal, but if that was your boyfriend, I mean, wouldn't you sort of be like, huh? I think I would be a bit like, bit of a vibe.
I mean, he did get divorced soon thereafter.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be right. I mean, it easily could have been performed. It just... My read was horny.
a lot of people's read. Listen, I'm in the minority. You guys are correct. It probably was horny, and he did get divorced after.
In, I watched the Oscars with you, and in that room, you were in the minority.
Yeah, I know. Everyone, my dad took a very strong stance of that it was that they were in love.
Yeah, your dad is like, I can't, they're going to fuck on stage.
No, he did not say that. In his thick Italian accent. Saying such disgusting things. I don't know. I think, you know what it is? I just think that Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper are both so serious about the craft that maybe in that moment they were in love. But it's not real. It was for the art, if that makes sense.
But if you're Bradley saying that to your wife, it was just in love in the moment for the art. She's going to be mad.
I mean,
look, I was just inside her for the art. I don't see what you're...
We 69 for art.
The big fight, I remember in high school, we were in this play and this guy kissed. So this guy Callum kissed Natalie, and Natalie's boyfriend was Brayden, and we all, and it was kind of like news was getting out that Callum kissed Natalie in the play, and then Friday night we all went to like a huge house party, and Brayden beat the shit out of Callum.
Man, for kissing his girlfriend in the play,
because he kissed his girlfriend in the play, and so that's when so. I don't know what to tell you. It's just a sad story that I recap.
This is maybe an overshare, but I don't think it is. But okay. I did a show, and I had to kiss a girl in the show. And then, absolutely not a big deal, and it was like a nothing. Like a peck, literally, also. But also, of course, nothing. And then, I mean, I don't think they're going to know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but then her boyfriend came a few days later and was like, so... How would you like kissing my girlfriend?
Was her boyfriend Bob and Doug McKenzie?
No, this is just how I internalized the voice in retrospect.
Yeah. No,
just to make him less scary.
But it was weird because
that is weird. That's very weird.
And I definitely wouldn't have been a jerk about it. Of course. Like, I understand that's a little weird, but at the same time,
were you in high school when you did this play, or was it college?
This is post university. I was well into my 20s.
Okay. Oh, man, that's super weird.
It is weird, but I think it's weirder. And funnily enough, the drama teacher that put this play on got fired publicly.
Oh, man.
That making two teenagers kiss on stage in high school. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You shouldn't do that. I don't think it needed to be a story that needs to be told. Not even for the fact that it's teens, but for the fact that the way that the social structure works in high school, it's uncomfortable.
Asking
and also,
for trouble.
You're asking for trouble. Also, who's watching the show? The parents. So as your parent, you want to go and watch a high school play and watch two children kiss? I just think it's so disgusting.
It is.
Unless it's like a peck in Romeo and Juliet. Like, that's it. That's all you need to see.
I mean, that's what they get that's the pedophile trap they set up. Where it's don't worry, we're doing a high school production of Hairspray the way God intended.
Oh, God. So everywhere they go, where this, whatever state they're in, looks like this, eh? Like, every bar looks the same. There's not one place that isn't 1,000 years old and filthy on the inside.
Yeah. That's just the 80s, man. I do love the reoccurring bit of this that his car is always totaled. Like he throws people out and they just destroy his car every time.
It's a bummer. I just can't get over the line when he said, pain don't hurt.
That's a good one.
I just think that's the real theme of the movie.
Also... It seems like a very difficult lifestyle for Patrick Swayze. How can he settle down? He's constantly going to new roadhouses across America, starting again. Spin this
kicking.
Isn't an easy lifestyle. And I mean, I hope they're paying him a lot, but I don't know that they are.
I doubt being the best bouncer in the world is a bit like being the best lacrosse player in the world. Like, he needs a second job.
Needs a... I love her Jeep, though.
That
Jeep looks pretty badass to me. I mean, You wouldn't get tips as a bouncer. No one's going to tip you.
No.
Imagine tipping the bouncer.
Thank you, sir.
What, great job today.
When I was like in my early 20s, my friend
fucking narc.
And I tried to get into some dumb bar like Crocodile Rock or something. And, the bouncer, my friend was really, we were both naive, but my friend was quite naive. And the bouncer was like, sorry, guys, you can't get in. And we're like, oh, okay. And then he sort of quietly says to my friend Dan, you can get in if you give me $20. And then my friend Dan didn't realize that he was trying to be subtle and like we were going to pay him off. So really loudly, my friend Dan was like, oh, okay, $20, eh? All right, let me just find $20. And the guy was like, shut up, shut the fuck up.
Did you get in?
God, I actually, that would be really good if I knew the ending to that story, but I don't really remember. I think we got it. I'm pretty sure we did. The villain in this movie has a beautiful big house, but it is in the country. And, you know, like, especially in the States, I feel like in rural areas, you'd be not that, you know, not comparatively not that much money to have a big house. So he might not actually be all that rich.
Yeah, he's only doing
I
thought you were getting into being like, if you have a big house in the country in the south of the States, it implies that you at one point owned slaves.
I mean,
that's what I thought you were getting at.
That is probably a situation. That
I just meant maybe the house was like $300,000. I don't know.
Which so to how's scale. If you're only making the fucking bouncer money.
I went on a road trip to Pittsburgh, and friend and I... I loved Pittsburgh. It was so nice. And we found this like really amazing cab driver randomly. And he's like, you guys are visiting? He's like, I'm going to drive you around. You know, I'll show you all the stuff. And we're like, well, this is so cool. He was such a cool guy. He showed us all around Pittsburgh. And he drove us up to like this kind of the fancy area of Pittsburgh, like right up on this mountain or this hill, I should say, that overlooks the city and these beautiful big houses. And we were like, wow, it's really nice. And he was sort of like to be sort of like, get this. He's like, this was like maybe 5 years ago. He's like, some of these houses up here cost $1 million. Any house.
Yeah, any house. I think a news story came out saying that most, like, the starting thing now in Toronto is $1 million.
I'm sure that's true.
Nothing goes below $1 million.
Yeah.
But I have family from Pittsburgh, and let me tell you, we haven't visited them not once.
Oh, you should.
It's
you haven't been?
No, it's very random. It's like one brother of like, so my mom's first cousin, there's like, my mom has 1 million cousins, and
Italian.
This is one of like 8 children that just moved to Pittsburgh. Don't know what he does. I don't know why he's there, but they're always telling us to go and that they'll take us to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's Cleveland.
Oh, I'm...
But it is close.
Cleveland.
It is a couple hours away from Pittsburgh. I did do them both.
No, then
the
they
same
must
trip.
Live in Cleveland.
Oh, well.
Never mind.
You know what? On the road trip, we did Pittsburgh and then Cleveland. And I'm going to be honest. Okay. Pittsburgh was great. And I thought Cleveland would also maybe be great. And it wasn't. It wasn't great.
So what was great about Pittsburgh, though?
It was just
like
cool.
No,
it's sort of like this city, and then all around it is sort of forest in an interesting way, and like these big yellow bridges.
Oh,
and it was just kind of a pleasant, small city with nice, it was kind of, I really like baseball. They have like a really cool baseball stadium, and it's like fun to walk around.
Was this a baseball pilgrimage?
Yes,
it did feel like you described the city like a child would. Like, there's forests and big yellow bridges.
You're right.
And I like baseball.
Did you watch it? Yeah. Well, these are all good things.
Yeah.
Did you see good baseball games?
We saw a game there and it was fun. Andy Warhol Museum was there.
Oh.
It was just kind of, you know what? It was like a 6-hour drive from Toronto, shorter than you'd think. And it was just like a fun one-day road trip.
I feel like
it was fun.
I feel like that's what I want to do when all is said and done. Is like, I have the power to do things. I should go and do a trip to Pittsburgh. Go to Montreal more.
You know what? I can really not do stuff. And it really, like, my girlfriend currently is very good at, like, let's go do this, let's go do that. And I'm really grateful for that because I always feel better if I'm, like, doing those things. But left to my own devices, I don't at all. Yeah. I don't do anything.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
That's my own devices. I just watch long movies. Like,
yeah. Me too, actually. I was just thinking, like, this should be the next, like, when I date someone when the pandemic is over. This should be my, like, checklist is, like, someone that, like, has ideas like this. Because I want to do it. But I'm so limited. It's like even when I like decide what to eat for dinner, it's like, oh, fuck it. I'm overwhelmed. Did you miss? Were you frozen out? I think it was him at the strip club. First of all, the strip club was a wild scene because the women, I was telling you, you might have been frozen when we were talking about this too, that the women of the 80s, the ones that they choose to show their naked bodies, I guess, maybe not all women, but they all have a very similar shape to them that seems like, I don't know how you could work out to attain that shape, but it's like they get really narrow hips that like V in, right. And they all wear like high-waisted bikini bottoms that really accentuate a V.
Yeah.
And that's what that strip club was. And they all had like crazy fake boobs from the 80s that just look very different than the fake boobs of the now, I think.
That's a good reference. Can I just make one point? Can you see Patrick Swayze's, you know, his sort of loft right now, which seems to be the top floor of a barn in the country?
Okay.
But wouldn't you love to live there?
I would.
I would too. I'd love to live in this loft, this barn loft.
I do love the logic of this movie that he lives across the lake
from
the richest man in the world.
Oh, wait, he lives across the street from that?
Yeah. Imagine you had a mansion and your arch enemy lived in the lake across the lake from you in a barn.
Well, a lake is a good space, I guess.
Yeah.
The street just goes around the lake. Like it's like
That's true. It's close.
like you see this, they're not really across the lake. They're more like next to each other on the lake.
Right.
James, are you seeing it yet? Doesn't she look like Jane Lynch?
I don't know. I don't see it.
Okay.
I mean,
but
I
Alex,
believe
you,
you but I just I don't it. I don't know why I don't see it. I think it's blowing my mind.
Wow, this is some tension.
Oh,
they're all
yeah.
alone though. They should just kiss. There's no one else around. They're acting as
they
though
they obviously
like
each other.
Yeah, they like each other and they've been brought there to do this one thing.
Yeah, why, you know, you guys know what you're thinking about. Come on.
Also, is this a thing in the 80s with Patrick Swayze? Like he has sex with women to songs from the 50s?
Clearly. You know what? I think this was after Dirty Dancing, and it really does feel like they ripped that off, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, and then Ghost. Well, he didn't have sex with her, but he right. It's like,
yeah.
Oh my, this is so scandalous to me that she's not wearing underwear and that he's like, he lifted her up.
Oh, yeah. I actually watched Dirty Dancing for the first time a few months ago. It was great.
Isn't it like good?
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, like, because I saw it as like, a 20
Did you see it's part of this podcast?
Yeah, we watched it with Stacey.
Yeah.
But Jeez. It was like, I was not, I know, it's very sexual. Yeah. See, I think these two like each other.
To reiterate, I did only see this once and I didn't really remember all the sex scenes. I wasn't trying to be a total pervert.
Imagine if that's what happens to us. Ooh, once I'll as we get bring someone on.
Well, I thought it was funny you picked this one of being like, I just watched this because...
Well, no. In James's defense, he gave a list.
I did give a list. And the other ones were very not sexy. The Burbs?
For some reason, Roadhouse,
I was like... Speed's a little
horny. Say that again, huh? Sorry?
Speed's a little horny.
It's a...
Speed?
Speed? Is Speed horny? I'm
mixing
it
up with something.
You've never seen Speed?
No, I've never seen Speed.
Speed's great. We should watch Speed.
Oh, my God. You really should see it. It's so good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But is it
And then
action?
When you've done that, watch Speed 2 Cruise Control and realize that they really were like just putting anything out at that time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Speed 2 Cruise Control, I'm pretty sure they wrote the movie not taking place on a boat and then Titanic happened and they're like, we got to put it on a boat.
Honestly.
This is shocking to me that there's so much nudity. Like, it's I don't know why. You know what? Because movies are less gratuitous now because... online porn exists, I think.
Maybe.
We always said like online porn exists, definitely like toned it down, but I think part of it is all, but I think even like when online porn exists in the 90s, 2000s, there were still like hornier scenes that maybe were less gratuitous.
Oh, but the 90s online porn, it was not easy to find, I have to assume. If you even had online, I didn't get online until. True.
I think the 2000s online porn exists, and they'd still have like some pretty horny scenes. But then the Avengers, to loop it all back.
Yeah. Alex just making a bunch of pornography with the Avengers.
I want to
see
Alessandra
Hulk bone down.
I'm sorry I'm still stuck in this, but I really hope you watch Speed. And let me know if you watch it, because it's so good.
Okay, we'll have you back on, and then we'll watch it, and great. I'll just talk right through it. Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah, I feel like not having seen Speed, like, I respect Keanu Reeves, but I don't, like, 100% get it. Mm. And I feel like if I had seen Speed, maybe that would clear up some things for me.
I think it's, like, kind of one of the ultimate, like, 90s vibes of an action movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where it's high premise.
Yeah.
Like, just the and, highest like, what's concept his face? Premise.
They, what's the name of the bad guy in it?
Dennis
like
Hopper.
He's wild. Dennis Hopper. Yeah. Yeah, he's wild. I read a book once about the movies in the 70s, and they said that Dennis Hopper went to San Francisco one weekend and did so many drugs that when he came back, he was a different person. He just never... Yeah. I recommend that book, by the way. It's called Easy Riders and Raging Bulls.
I'm at the part in this movie where Patrick Swayze and his... and Kelly Lynch are for some reason sleeping on their roof and having sex on their roof.
And doesn't Patrick Swayze have the fucking weirdest belly button?
Yeah. But like his arch nemesis is across or down the lake and just looking at them having sex on his roof. What the hell is he doing? Yeah. Do it in your bedroom.
Showing off, baby.
Yes.
Here's the deal. If you have a roof that you can have sex on a roof. It's such a good time.
That's a good way to fall nude off a roof.
Yes.
It's a good time. I feel like roof sex was like a thing I did in my early 20s, but I also lived at home for too long. So I often had sex outside because I was like, the guy's like, you want to go over to your place? I'd be like, we can't. So it's usually how it would go.
What is that line?
That's a killer
fight,
move.
Dickless? Sure, I'm going to show you my dick. Punches directly into the guy's penis. That's the most penis-forward scene of this movie that has full nudity in it.
I feel like it's not the penis that gets hurt, but it's the balls that would get hurt. So punching fully the penis maybe wouldn't hurt as bad? Am I wrong?
They're all next to each other.
Okay,
don't worry.
All right, all right.
They kind of waggle about.
Ew. They're braided together.
Braided.
Wait, so is this guy the second toughest bouncer? Then?
I believe he was Patrick Swayze's bouncer mentor.
Oh, yeah, his spiritual guide.
Yeah.
The most insane setup. I forgot about that.
It's all kind of like this exactly universe where bouncers are very important and like very skilled and very sought after. And you know what I mean? Like kind of like they're shinobis or something. You know what I mean? Like they're...
Yeah, like his sensei or something.
Yeah.
I like that it's a world where bouncers are like tiny cops. Like they're just like they're Judge, Jury, and Executioner as long as they're in a bar. Like,
is this like a fantasy for some people? Like to be such a tough guy that like everything's fine.
This is kind of like a precursor to Drive. Like this is like the same guy in 89 who loved this movie loved Drive.
Really? Like Ryan Gosling? This is similar to Drive? Yeah.
In like the people who like idolized Ryan Gosling would have idolized Patrick Swayze, I think.
You think?
Like I like Drive, but I didn't idolize Ryan Gosling. And it's like I like this movie, I don't idolize Patrick Swayze. But the guy who would is the same guy. Because it's like idolizing like hyper masculine but not like mean.
But Ryan Gosling seems actually funny. Does Patrick Swayze come off as funny? I don't know.
In Drive, Ryan Gosling says like 6 words total.
You never see pubic hair like that in a movie. My God, this movie is sexual. I guess he does. And Oscar Isaac's in it. It's a great movie now that I think about it. I only saw it the one time. I actually don't remember anything but the music.
It is weird that they just showed Sam Elliott's pubic hair. They probably could have avoided that. Because
he could have had a scar.
Because he has
any
a scar, he's just showing them a scar. Opposite. But he pulls down his jeans enough that you just see his pubes.
They did the opposite of avoid that. They were like, "Where is the horniest place we can put this scar?"
Yeah,
if it was on his chest. He would have like ripped open his entire shirt to show it.
You missed Sam Elliott just really dancing sexually with Patrick Swayze's girlfriend, and like she was fine with it.
I remember,
and so was Swayze.
I remember thinking that was sort of weird. Like, you know, it's one thing for Patrick Swayze's mentor to be sort of like, "Hey, I'm chummy and buddy buddy with your girlfriend. Oh, she's beautiful, haha." You know, but it felt a little, you know. I don't know why they added that element that where it's kind of like, are they horny for each other too?
Well, this is the thing. I think Sam Elliott could have her whenever he wanted her. He'd just have to make the decision. And so it's an odd choice because, I don't know, we were talking about this. Patrick Swayze, he just doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. But I don't see it. I understand that he's handsome. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. Sam Elliott way more so. Oh no, she's into him. She kissed him. She chose him.
Yeah, that's what happens. That's how you know someone's into you. And the slightest kiss.
This movie is all like we fight and then we have sex and then we look at naked girls and then we fight again. Does it get men all like riled up when they watch it?
Probably.
Yeah, man, that's just life. I think what I like about this movie is that as the movie goes on, the bar gets better and better because Patrick Swayze has been cleaning it up. So like now they have like this like big neon sign, like everyone's got uniforms. Like every time you see the bar, it's like slightly better than the last time you saw
like
the bar.
It's like he's the guy from Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
John Taffer.
John Taffer. I feel like I have a lot of memories of being in hotels and then watching that marathons of that because I have nothing else to do.
Man, Spike just loves showing you Bar Rescue.
Yes.
And truthfully, it is one of the best things Spike can show you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that channel still a channel, Spike? Because all I remember is Entourage being on it like all the time.
They changed their name to Paramount Channel? I can't remember.
Hmm.
Where's this? Wait, weren't they just in the bar?
Yeah,
where are they?
That's across the street. That's the auto. That's the auto parts thingy.
Oh, see, it's hard.
The rich
guys, that
thugs
looks a lot
have
like
set
the bar.
The auto parts store on fire, and in fact, blown it up. And that auto parts store is owned by Kelly Lynch's dad. Pretty fucked up.
Yeah,
that's so unfair because she's just an innocent in this.
Yeah.
And he
especially
does
your
not
dad.
Have insurance.
Yeah. They just
imagine
hate.
That's how you find out.
And all this is because they hate that Patrick Swayze is cleaning up this bar.
I want to go to the shittiest bar and I want to fight.
Yeah.
But imagine that's how you find out your daughter's dating
life.
Someone.
I want to remake this movie with John Taffer and Bar Rescue. Like it's just... It's the same plot, only instead of it being a bouncer cleaning up the bar, it's John Taffer putting in a turbo tap system.
Yeah, it always felt like, part of it in the reveal of the new bar and Bar Rescue would be like, and we installed this iPad system. Like, it's always felt like some sponsored thing that's like, you know, this is perfect
because
then you
sponsored.
Press a button and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that. Like, I love like the Bar Rescue thing where it's like 45 minutes worth of the show is like them being like, you're going to learn how to make these expensive cocktails and the food's going to be better and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But really what's rescuing the bar is they infuse like $200,000 worth of bar equipment. So that it's like.
I really like how he plays the guitar.
Yeah. On his lap.
Does this girl have something to do? Wait, is this the woman that got beaten up and was at the... God, I wish all the women didn't look exactly the same. Was she the one that was in the house of the enemy? And that's why Patrick Swayze seems pissed?
I think so.
Or, yeah, like this guy's house. Also, this is a wild dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, truthfully, it would be a bit embarrassing if someone got on stage and did the sexy dance during a song.
I guess, but there's no other women in the bar, so
right.
I guess the
it
guys,
would still be weird. Like it would
the guys
still
won't
be...
say anything because I'm not gonna lie. I really like her dress. I think it's really cool.
Like everyone, like she's dancing and everyone's like trying to ignore her.
Yeah, be sort of like, oh no.
shit.
Okay.
Well, Patrick Swayze's trying to get her to get off the stage.
That a guest has ever brought on.
I'm so sorry. Oh, man.
No, it's good. It's just so hilarious.
I didn't really think about that.
Because I just didn't see this for you specifically.
No, you know what? I didn't really think about it.
See, do you see what I mean when I was talking about women in the 80s, their bodies, the V?
I do.
Like, is this not a V?
I do. Underwear clearly had a style at the time of just...
That's true.
Looking like that.
Oh no, his girlfriend's gonna be so mad. That's like what Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga did in front of Bradley Cooper. And look, Sam Elliott's there. This is just another Star is Born situation.
Oh my god.
But that seems like a bad dream to like walk out of a bar and like barely covering your chest because you're like half naked. That just felt like I
because
got
of
like,
a dance you did.
Yeah, I got the embarrassment of a dream.
There was one. There was some bit I was doing in Skechersons where I was covered in something, blood probably, and like had no shirt, and I was like, oh shit, I gotta like just rinse this off. And I remember running through Comedy Bar, like it was like no one's really in the bar with no shirt, and felt so embarrassed to like run to the washroom from the green room. And I felt so embarrassed. I'm like, I don't know. It's not like a big deal, but like it feels incredibly embarrassing to do that.
Yeah, I've never had this experience.
I told this recently on my podcast. I remember when I was like 11, maybe. I was watching a movie in the movie theater, and I don't know why, but I barfed on myself. And I was like, oh, man. I was with my older sister, and she was like, I guess take off your shirt. Because I had barfed all over my shirt. So then I did. And then I left the movie with no shirt on. But I was so embarrassed. But I tried to act like, yeah, I know I don't have a shirt on. And that's normal. And it was.
How old were you?
Like 11, 12.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it was very embarrassing to be a weird 11-year-old kid leaving a movie's shirtless. And everyone going, that's weird. And I'm trying to be like, no, it's not.
Because
it was I barfed on myself.
You're so young that you're just like a baby, but you're old enough to feel extremely self-conscious.
Yes.
So it's acceptable for adults, but it is not acceptable for you.
Yes.
It's this horrible in between. I remember once I was babysitting this kid. He was like 7, and he would do this thing when he would go to the washroom. I knew that he would take off all his clothes. Like he would take off his shirt, he'd take off his pants all the way every time he'd go to the bathroom.
Hmm.
And so we go to a restaurant. And he keeps saying he needs his privacy, he needs his privacy, but I can't, like, leave him. So I'm, like, standing outside the bathroom because he's 7. And then he comes out of the bathroom and he's not wearing his shirt. And he's just walking totally normal. And I just see his face go, and then turn around to get his shirt. And it was one of the cutest things I've ever seen in my life.
Why did he do Mr. that? He just likes to be free?
He needed to be completely free when he went to the washroom. I don't know why. He also did this thing where, oh man, he's a child still, but it's funny to think like how embarrassing this would be if he knew I was talking about it. But he would do this thing. So I took him to the movie theaters, but I took him to the Carlton and they were selling a slushie. And he kept saying he wanted popcorn, but he also wanted the slushie. And I was like, listen, you're going to barf. If you eat both a slushie and popcorn, I just know it's a matinee. You've only had breakfast. Like, I just know in my heart that this will hurt your stomach. And he's like, please, please, I promise, I promise. And like, it was just like it was like 3 weeks of like intense, like babysitting him from like 7 in the morning until 7 at night. So I was like, you know what? Fine. Eat the slush, eat the thing. And then the rest of the movie was just him running to the bathroom every 2 seconds, but me having to stand outside the men's room and him screaming, being like, I didn't know. I didn't know the entire time. Oh. Breaks my heart. And just knowing that he's completely naked on the toilet while this is happening.
That's so fun.
Kids are so stupid. Why do people have the power that they have in this movie? Patrick Swayze has too much power as a bouncer, and this rich man has too much power as a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you, like... like, they own a giant monster truck they drive around in, right? Mm-hmm. But like, imagine like you had that monster truck and we're just like going to pick up groceries.
Yeah, it's insane. Very that impractical. You would actually own a monster truck and drive it around.
It's also, its mileage can't be great.
No.
Oh, they're destroying all of these cars.
Yeah.
But man, this movie is the definition of testosterone, eh?
Yeah.
So it's like a fucking monster truck just crashed after we saw an explosion, after we saw a woman dance on stage like to a striptease.
Yeah, maybe it's just all gas, like, no brakes.
That was like the series of events.
And the millionaire is just owning that he created the situation where this monster truck destroyed this a business, and there's no comeuppance at all.
No comeuppance, because he has 6 out of the 12 police in his pocket. But I think this would go above the police. I think we would go straight to the court.
At this point, would be like, okay, we're calling the FBI.
Yeah, call the FBI. Make this like a multi-state situation.
Basically a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
They are,
but what are they really? Like, they're not bikers. Like, what do they do? Just like hassle people?
I don't know. They just don't like bouncers.
Yeah.
This is all because of Patrick Swayze. Yeah. They're like, fucking clean up that bar, I'll destroy this town.
Basically.
Also, no one in this town has a gun, because I just feel like this would be the time that you just shoot that dude and that's the end of the movie. Mm-hmm.
He used a gun in the bar earlier to silence everyone when they're fighting after the nude stripping.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, there's just the
look how
layer
greasy
of,
he is,
and always in a white pair of pants to see the curvature of the butt. Also, Sam Elliott is wearing the exact same clothing that he wore in Star Is Born 2. He might just show up to movies.
I feel like those are sort of fashionable jeans for present day that Sam Elliott's wearing. Are they?
He looks great.
Yeah,
he looks great. I do prefer him with a mustache versus a beard. I'm not going to lie.
No, fair.
I just got to keep reiterating that this is someone mapped out like what boys want. So we go from striptease. No, we go from explosion. Explosion to striptease to monster truck to boxing.
It's really true.
As like the screenwriter, instead of like an outline of like beats that will happen, it's just a list of things to put in the movie.
So wouldn't it be cool if like he punches a weight bag on one level and then he goes up the stairs, guess what, another weight bag. Oh no. Do we lose James again?
Right before he left, he did say, oh fuck.
Did the internet come to murder him?
As if someone from Rogers walked in,
just shot him point blank.
We said no internet.
Oh fuck! I just can't get this. Like, because James is so sweet looking, to see his eyes like well up with tears and just. Getting shot
by Rogers. I think
I've done it. I've cracked. It's been a slow burn this whole podcast, but we finally got there. Also, I can't believe that this movie's still going on. They are not. They're not like developing more story. It's the same story over and over again.
I mean, I didn't say this movie was good. I just thought it was kind of like fun and horny.
Oh yeah, it's super fun, but it's just so funny that it's like we're not learning anything new.
I can't believe we have 24 minutes left of this.
Just crying. I hope 16 of those minutes is the credit.
We should have done Speed. I'm sorry.
Is Speed on Netflix? I'm gonna check this out right now. Oh my god. Also, I had frozen yogurt right before this. And I cooled my body down in a way that was unwell for me. Like, it froze me to the bone. And only now am I finally feeling warm. Another explosion. Also, remember frozen yogurt? It was really good.
I am always perplexed Menchie's is still open. Like, who's
it's
going
on your
to a
street.
Menchie's?
It's like the last Menchie's in town. James, what
I'm back.
Happened?
Sorry.
Internet. You said that it looked like the internet came to murder you because you said, oh fuck, and then it disappeared.
I think I said, oh fuck, about something happening in the movie. some kick or something, but yeah.
It was very entertaining to us. Okay, so you've missed another explosion, and it's like, why doesn't this rich man just fucking kill him already?
Yeah.
Yeah, why is this rich man just playing, like, pussyfooting around? His problem is with his Patrick Swayze.
Do we think that this is, like, a modern-day retelling of Job, and the rich guy is God and the devil, and they're just doing things to mess with Patrick Swayze?
Wow.
And his faith never gets broken in being the... Bouncer of a bar?
Wow. Maybe.
Maybe.
Did I do it?
Yeah.
Crack? That was incredible. That was incredible. That was so cool.
Oh, when Swayze knocks the crucifix earring guy off his motorbike. Yeah, this is the... they have a, you know, like we were talking before, does cross earring guy come back? And this is like their big moment together.
You know what I like about this fight? That they're giving each other space.
Yeah, respectful.
Respectful. They let him go a little bit, then he goes a little bit.
I go a bit.
I watched Police Story recently again, which is like a Hong Kong Jackie Chan film that like he kind of made his name with.
I remember Police Story.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. But it's like all like... It's like a weird crime drama, but all the fights are so amazing and like they're shot so wide that you like see everything. And I was like watching, it's like, this is so good. And then watching any other fight scene since then, I've been like, garbage. It's no Police Story.
Jackie Chan directs too, right?
Well, it's like he brings in his own like fight team. And a lot of the times the fight team will like also direct a bit.
He's very talented. I really love that man. Oh, I love a hand-to-hand combat, though. It's so much more entertaining than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of shit for saying that I don't think car chases are ever interesting on film. And everyone just kept naming car chases they liked. And I dislike them still.
I mean, you're not winning a fan over here. But mind you, I've never seen The French Connection. And that's supposed to be the car chase of all car chases. Guys, I think it's an easy solve. No one looks like they have a lot of money, and this area of town doesn't look like a great place to live. Why don't we just all pack up and move down the road?
Yeah.
This rich guy loses all power once you leave the location.
He lives right next to his enemy. I mean, or everyone moves the town. Just be like, you know what? This roadhouse is a bit much. I'm quitting and I'm moving away. You know, like there's not really a reason.
I'm the best bouncer in the world. I can probably get a job at any other bar.
I guess he did fall in love with Kelly Lynch, so he's invested because of that. But now Kelly Lynch looks at him
different now because she saw him rip out a float, which I don't know. It doesn't matter how much in love you are. You can't watch anyone rip out a throat.
No.
Yeah.
I'd be like, that is the man I fell in love
with.
I'm
so grateful that I've never seen. Yeah. A man that I love. Do any kind of violent act, let alone rip a throat out. Ooh, I just gotta chill. I think it's from all the violence or something. Okay. Yeah, she's a nurse. Knowing that a man, you could never trust a man if he ripped out a throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like before this, she dated an accountant and was like, I want someone with a little more spunk. Mm-hmm. And then now she's dating a guy who rips out throats and she's like, overcorrection.
Yeah, and she's a doctor, so she knows how bad that is for you if you have your throat
ripped out.
That's
what I was thinking, that she's a nurse. Everyone, so she knows.
You don't need a medical degree to know getting your throat ripped out is bad.
She knows, but she really knows.
Yeah, she saw it. Like, she's like, oh no, his thyroid and his larynx. Like, she could see
his thyroid and.
Yeah. Oh my God, do you think he got the esophagus too? Oh. But also, like, he already was dead. Like, was the throat pull the thing that killed him?
It might have been the only overkill? Way to kill that earring guy. He was so strong and crazy. He just had to do something drastic to.
And he had a gun the whole time, so he kind of was asking for it.
Yeah. But it's like,
maybe
how do you
get out of the?
Yeah, how do you top? I mean, the guy whose throat he pulled out was bad, but not as bad as the boss. So it's like, Are you going to top that somehow for the guy we hate even more?
Also, monkeys.
Also, Suspenders Man. Like, he hasn't really done anything in this movie.
Suspenders Man, if this was made now, would be the guy that played Richard Jewell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's his name? I like that actor.
He's really good. Yeah. And he would be, like, doing it for fun. Like, he's not...
Yeah, yeah, he's just a fan. He's a fan of the movie, so he wants to be a part of it.
He's at scale. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you can tell this guy is at least somewhat rich because he has a bunch of African bullshit.
For the people listening at home, we're currently watching the two of them fight in a room completely covered in taxidermy stuff. And the rich guy had a gun and now he's using a spear because he has a bunch of hunting things from, I guess, like safari hunts.
Yeah. But he's like 58, and Patrick Swayze's like 30 and like a martial arts master. I mean, give me a break. He's not going to get him with a spear. Yeah.
I don't think Patrick, like, I'm 30 and Patrick Swayze, and I the 58-year-old man could probably take
him. Fair. But,
that guy
I mean,
looks
Patrick
like he's
Swayze's
made of
a,
dense muscle.
A throat pulling out, man.
Ripping, yeah.
Look, clearly this is his move and he's going to do it. Do it. Do it. What, this guy hasn't angered you enough?
He earned it.
What?
Credit where credit's due.
Do it. Do the throw. What? Oh, because then she wouldn't like him again. I guess it would be a hard sell. This many people died. Oh, he's alive.
Suspenders
is alive. He's on the right side of history.
We were right. He was just like, I don't want to have to fight him.
Yeah.
He ripped out a throat.
No, he didn't rip out his throat again because otherwise Kelly Lynch would never touch him again.
But he knew he ripped out at least one throat.
Yeah, like, what did it really
matter? If you're fighting someone who's ripped out a throat before, you're like, I don't want to do this.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because...
Also, where the hell were these guys like 10 minutes ago?
Yeah.
And now there's police?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because Patrick Swayze made a big thing about, I'm not going to kill the guy. And then 1 second later, all the townsfolk shoot the guy and they all kill him. I mean, they still killed him, you know, like I don't really
get
that. He
killed so many other people that how is him not killing the source of the problem? The guy that truly fucked over Kelly Lynch's dad, to not kill him is the noble thing to do. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's not really what this...
Now the police have arrived at this bloodbath, and they're like, what happened here? And everyone's going, I didn't see anything. And the police are just going to be like, huh, well...
It's a...
Oh, my God.
I will not investigate further.
It's a time before DNA, man.
And that's the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was incredible, James.
Pretty wild. I mean, again, sorry if it was a little raunchy... But
it wasn't a little bit raunchy.
It was extreme.
It was the raunchiest movie.
This is maybe the, like, we watched Fifty Shades of Grey. This may be raunchier than that.
Oh,
movie.
Man.
Well, Fifty Shades of Grey. Yeah, you don't see any penetrative sex in Fifty Shades of Grey, funnily enough.
Most of Fifty Shades of Grey is discussing the sex they might have one day.
Yeah, and it's not even sex. It's just him hitting her with stuff. It's a terrible movie. Ugh. Anyways, James, thank you so much. I honestly really enjoyed that.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I thought at first I was not going to like it.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's kind of a good, if you're drunk or hungover kind of movie, if you ever see on whatever, TV.
Oh, I'll never watch it again. No, I'll never watch it. I refuse. But
I am realizing that I'm like, wow, this movie's 2 hours. I thought it was always like an hour and a half.
Me too.
It's that it's 100% been edited for cable.
It should have been edited for cable. I think there was a lot we didn't need. And TBH, I love Sam Elliott. Was he that necessary?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
You know what? You're right.
He had to die to make him kill more.
I feel like I could have found 25 minutes to trim to make it an hour and a half, you know, but
I think if you're making a movie where its main thing is punching and boobs, try and keep it under 2 hours. just try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, what a joy. James, thank you so much for coming on our little pod.
Thanks for having me.
Is there anything that you would like? Oh, course. Because you were on the first Sketchersons I ever was in, and now you'll be on the last episode of the podcast we'll ever do.
No, surprise! We have other guests planned. What do we tell
surprise!
Them?
Surprise!
Cool.
James, do you have anything you would like to plug?
Well, I do a podcast with Mike Belazzo called The Landlord and Tenant Podmas. That's very fun. Also on Sonar. And, oh, man, I don't know. I have a stand-up album called Get Bent. Ooh. It's on Spotify or whatever. And that's it. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thanks for having me. Hello. That was really fun.
Yeah, of course. Happy March. I don't know what holiday.
Happy Roadhouse.
Happy Roadhouse. Happy early Easter if you celebrate that. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Hope your internet's good.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.